As parents have to teach them what is right and what is wrong.
You raised me and you've seen the good, the bad and the ugly, and you're still the person, if I need to have a cry, you're still the person that I go to. Well, welcome to another episode of Braveheart Talks. I'm so glad that you could join us today. And today we're going to be looking at all things motherhood. And I've actually got a guest in here with me today that I am really excited to introduce you, because I've got my mum on set with me today. And she's going to be sharing some of her pearls of wisdom, because, you know, there's motherhood should not be a lonely journey, and we can learn from each other. And I think a huge part of who I am today is because perhaps of the seeds that my mum sowed into my life when I was a young girl. And I think just sometimes with it coming up to Mother's Day, I just think there's time that we can just pause and pay recognition to that. And we're going to have some conversation, and I really hope that this conversation inspires you and it helps you. So, Mum, welcome to Braveheart Talks.
Hi.
And this could really go either way for us today.
Yes.
But I just wanted to have some conversation and pick your brains. Some things to do with motherhood, some things to do with faith, some things to do with the way you've raised us.
Okay.
And so we're now, like, I'm a grandparent myself, which is the weirdest thing for me to say. So I have had my own children. I've raised my own children. I'm now starting on the cusp of another season in life, as are you, as a now great grandmother. Does that make you feel ancient?
Yes.
And so we have done a fair journey when it comes to parenting. But going back to my childhood, you raised me and my brother. What was your favorite season of parenting? Because there's the baby and there's the toddler and there's the young child, and then we get into adolescence and young adulting. And what was your favorite season of parenting and why?
Oh gosh, I think the favorite season has got to be when you're toddlers.
Right.
When the children are young, you know where they are, you know what they're doing, you know what they need. It's by far the best season to be in. And at that age, the children think that you know everything.
Yeah.
By the time they get to teenagers, they're the ones that know everything. So, definitely the toddler and the young child age, they are precious years.
Yeah, yes. And I guess also at that age, they're still in their formative years, aren't they?
Yeah.
So that they're there to sort of shape and mould. They're not
absolutely
sort of kicking back on much, but they're there to shape and mould.
Yeah.
Yeah, toddler years are precious years. But if you could go back to parenting and you could do it all over again, what would you change? Would you change anything?
I'd like to think I would. Probably I wouldn't, but I'd like to think one of the things I think I do regret is not spending more time. Time is something that you can never get back, and time is precious. People go to work to give their children the best home, to give their children the best computer, the best television on the wall. And really what the kids need is time.
Yeah.
You cannot get anything better than spending time with your children. And I think looking back, sometimes the cares of life take over. You're trying to keep your own head above water. You're trying to find your own way through situations, and the kids are being tagged along behind.
Yeah.
Whereas I think spending time with your children is the best thing that you can give them. And if I had my time again, I think possibly that's definitely what I would do, investing in time.
Yeah. And it's so true because it's a currency time, and once it's gone, it's gone.
Yes, and
you are right. You can't get it back again. And I feel sometimes, I know for me, I feel like we have children at the wrong end of our life, because it's like when you're at the age of having young children and raising them, you are right. You're trying to hold your own life together. You're still trying to navigate the early season of marriage.
Yes, yeah.
You are still trying to work on, you know, getting financially secure.
Yes, yes.
You're working full pelt, many people at a job. And so you are right. Your children are just, you know, holding on to your coattails,
absolutely,
trying to get on with the life. And then when you get to a season of life when you have more financial security, you're in a stronger place in your marriage, and you feel like you've got a few more brain cells in your head, your kids have grown up and flown the nest.
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
Although mine haven't quite got there yet.
Absolutely.
I think my kids are on boomerangs. They
absolutely
don't seem to go anywhere. But that's an interesting point. So I think the toddler years are precious, precious years, and it is their formulative years. But if I was to ask you, what accomplishments as a mother, what are your greatest accomplishments, and why do you think they are your greatest accomplishments? Because I think there's many different things that you can look at in your children, and you're proud of them, but there are things that you know they have become because of something you did. Does that make sense? Like, you set them up to win in an area. So what would some of your greatest accomplishments be that has made you proud as a mother?
Okay, I think one of the things that we need to remember as mothers is that not to talk about God, not to talk about the Bible, but to live it, to be it. And I'm not saying I was a great example, but I did spend hours on my knees. I can remember you coming in from playing one day and frightening the life out of me because I had my hands in the air talking to God, and you took hold of one of my hands. In fact, I was praying, Lord Jesus, come, just come. And when you got hold of my hand, I thought you'd actually arrived. And I got the shock of my life. So I reckon that you saw me in those seasons. You saw me on my knees. You saw the times when I wept before God. You saw me in the Word. And also, like you've always said, Sunday was never negotiable.
Yeah.
Sunday was church day, end of. It wasn't a question of, are we going to church today? It was Sunday.
Yeah.
And Sunday was always spent in the house of God, whether I felt like it or not. And I think they're the kind of things that you pick up on as children. And it's more a case of, it's what you were saying on Sunday. It's not what you do, it's who you are. Your children will wear what you wear.
Yes.
Your children will do what you do.
Yes.
We all know how they pick up the bad habits and the bad things that we do. Well, they actually also pick up on the good habits and the good things that we do.
Yeah.
So I think possibly just teaching you how to get before God, how to pray. And also, like I say, Sunday was non-negotiable.
Yeah, and I remember that. I mean, I remember the battles going to church, what we would wear, what you'd let us wear, what
absolutely
wasn't appropriate to wear, and things. But it was what we did as a family, come hail, rain or shine, in the good
absolutely
times and the bad times. We were going to church every single Sunday. In fact, we used to go Sunday morning, then we'd have to go back in the afternoon for Sunday school, then we'd have to go back in the evening for the evening service.
Yeah, absolutely.
And but it just becomes part of your routine. But all of the routines that you create as a parent are influencing your children.
Absolutely.
And
absolutely, for good or bad.
Absolutely. Yeah. So we can develop good habits and bad habits. And so, yeah. And as for remembering, you know, you taught us that we can pray in the car. We would pray on the way to school. We would pray. I can remember driving to the dentist, and I was sobbing
that
in the back of the car. And I think literally you were just like casting the devil out the car because I was hysterical about going to the dentist.
That. Yes. Yeah.
But you would just be there and teaching us that, just praying, even when we were in school on our own. Like, I knew from a very young age that whenever fear or anxious thoughts entered my mind, that I could run to prayer,
so to speak,
even before I shouted for you. I knew how to pray in my bed. I knew how to feel alone at school and be able to pray.
Absolutely.
And that, so, yeah, that's
absolutely,
that obviously is one of the great habits that you can, you know, teach into your kids as well. Tell us a funny story. Tell us something from either my childhood or your past that, you know, you think back, because I remember just the other day we were looking through photo albums and
time
goes so quickly, right? So quickly. And we've got, you know, my dad was very diligent at making, putting them in scrapbooks and dating everything. Yeah, and so we've got records going right back through our childhood. What are some of the funniest memories that you look back on and you either just shake your head or think, how on earth did we survive?
How did you survive? Well, I don't know how you survived. One of the funny things I do remember was your dad making you and Jason some trolleys.
The go-karts?
The go-karts, that's right. We used to call them trolleys, but they're like go-karts.
Homemade go-karts, I remember.
We had no money. Couldn't go out and buy.
I named mine was called Blue Bumper, and I painted the whole thing blue.
Blue Bumper, okay. Yeah. So he went and got a couple of old prams from somewhere and used the wheels of the prams and made these go-karts, but he forgot to put brakes on them.
I remember.
Do you remember? Unfortunately, we lived on the top of a hill, which actually went straight down into the centre of Ormskirk. I think you were probably around the centre of Ormskirk before you were able to stop.
No, I actually remember we used to come down the hill. I mean, Mum, can I just ask you? We used to come down the centre of the road, not the main road, but the road we lived on, round all those bends and corners. Like, a car could have come round the corner at any moment.
I trusted God's protection over your life.
There's no way I would let my kids do that. But we'd start off at the top of this hill on a go-kart and we would come full pelt down the hill. But don't know if you remember, at the bottom of our road, it curved before it got to the main road. And there was a great big hedge. So we knew to bump the curb and all launch ourselves into the hedge. And look back and wonder how on earth we survived. Well, you know, what qualities as a mum do you think are most important to raising a child? I mean, okay, we could, I think in this type of conversation, you've covered one of them. The qualities that were important to you non-negotiables was the house of God. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We're going to church on a Sunday, kids. And I remember when we got to like 8, 9, 10, we would kick back on that. But you were like, no, we go to church. It's what we do. It's who we are. And so that and the prayer, that's kind of, they're non-negotiables. But what other standards of negotiables do you think are good qualities for parents to put into the children whilst they're young?
Yeah. Just going back to going to church, you know, people say, well, the kids kick off, the kids don't like it, so we're not going. Actually, the kids don't like going to school, but you send them.
Yes.
The kids don't like going to the dentist, but we make them go. Why? Because we know what's good for them.
Mm.
And it's the same with church. And yet people say, oh, well, the kids didn't want to come. You know, well, we teach as parents, we teach the children to do what is good for them.
Yes.
So that was just, But I think the qualities, I think love, you know, the Bible says unconditional love. And obviously that is a must when you're raising children. Unconditional love, not just to hug them and love them when they're doing good, but to hug them and love them when they're in error, when they've done something wrong. But also, don't forget the discipline. The Bible talks about love. It says love covers a multitude. Love covers everything. Love will never fail. But the Bible also says, spare the rod and spoil the child.
Yeah.
So we have to have discipline. We, as parents, have to teach them what is right and what is wrong.
That's right.
And there has to be some discipline.
Yeah.
But discipline in love.
Yeah.
Discipline in love, and that's the way.
Because discipline is love at the end of the day.
Absolutely.
Because if you saw your child running towards the edge of a cliff, like, you would absolutely run and rugby tackle that child to the ground because you will not want it to go near that. So you put boundaries in place because you don't want that. And it's the same with discipline. And, you know, I'm not going to get into that because everybody has their own viewpoint.
Everybody's
child is their child.
Yes, yeah.
But I do think when you negate the discipline when they are younger, you are building a real difficult season for yourself they're older.
Yes,
because I had a child, I was in the supermarket recently, and the mother told the child was about 7 years old, and asked the child, she said, "I want, come over here and hold my hand." And the child said, "Make me." And I just thought to myself, can you imagine like your generation speaking to your parents like that?
Not really.
Imagine saying that to your mum or dad or their parents. Like, how have we got to that place now where a seven-year-old can say, "Make me"? Like, I mean, I would have only had to look at my kids. I think they've got to know there's a line that you don't cross over. And I think that's a really healthy quality that you can build into their life. It's like, this line, we don't cross over.
Absolutely.
You've gone too far.
Yes. Yeah.
But when we don't put discipline in place, I think the safest children are raised with boundaries and borders.
Yes, yes.
And I think sometimes we want to parent our children like our best friends. And you know what? They're not our best friends.
They're
our children. And we are put in a place of leadership to raise them correctly.
Yes, yeah, yes. I remember hearing the story of children's football team, and they went to play, and when they got there, the referee wasn't there. So in the end, one of the dads said to them, "Oh, just kick a ball, do yourself into two teams and just kick a ball around, you'll be fine." So they did two teams and they went onto the field and started playing. Half an hour later, the referee arrived and he set them into the teams. He set up the rules and he got them going. So on the way home, this gentleman said to his son, "So what was better? Was it better before the ref came and you were playing with no rules?
Yeah.
Or was it better after the ref?" "Oh," he said, "it was far better after the ref came because we knew where we were expected to be and what we were doing." He said, "It was much more fun when we had the rules in place." And I thought that was an amazing lesson, because we need, as you say, we need those boundaries and we need to know how far we can go and what is right. And what is absolutely wrong.
Yeah. There was something else that you said just before, and when you talked about love and a child knowing love, even when they're doing wrong or when they're doing right, it's the importance of knowing love. And I think that's so key to building a relationship with your children, because we want to give our children rules, but without relationship, the rules don't work.
Yes, yeah.
And so, you know, they have to know they are loved, whether they do wrong or whether they do right. They are loved, but they will pay a consequence for the wrong that they have done.
Yes.
I mean, what were we? I remember we were put in our bedroom, door shut. Some funny things that we used to have to pay consequences.
I think discipline looks different in every family.
Yes.
Because every child is different.
Yeah.
But there has to be discipline.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I think that's great. Listen, just tell us a little bit about your story that led you to salvation. Because there's a lot of women listening today that I believe are going to be first generation Christians in their households. And it starts somewhere. Raising your children right, it starts somewhere. And it starts by a parent getting right.
Yes.
And so that getting right usually starts at the point of salvation, where you decide, "I don't want to do it the world's way. I want to know what God has to say about raising children." But just tell us a little bit about your story of salvation.
Okay.
I think if I'm right, I was about two years old, was I? When you and my dad started going back to church, because I know you'd been as teenagers, you'd gone away from the whole thing. But when I was about 2 years old, that's when you really got saved. Talk us a little bit about that season of your life.
Okay, so I was pregnant with Jason, and yeah, I think I'd been brought up in the faith. God was always there,
yeah,
you know, but I had never actually given my life to him. I'd never actually asked God to come and live in me. I'd never prayed the prayer of salvation. I'd never asked forgiveness. I didn't think I needed it. I married the man of my dreams. And you know,
how long have you been married now?
Oh, 56 years.
Is he still the man of your dreams?
Or your man of your nightmares? Well, put it this way, I wouldn't marry anybody else. If I had my chance all over again, I'd do it all over again. So,
right answer.
But. I believed, you know, all those stories that you read and the prince and the princess got together and they lived happily ever after.
Yes.
I believed them. And they tell lies.
Are you still kissing the frog waiting for him to change?
No, let's be honest. Marriage is a hard thing. It's not easy. Mm. And especially when you do what we did, we came into marriage with all our baggage. Neither of us knew God. Neither of us were saved. I had my baggage. He had his baggage. And together we were just trying to fumble through life.
Yeah.
And by the time I got round to having my second child, I just thought, there has got to be more to life than this. What happened to this happily ever after? And of course I went back. And this is where the scripture, if you train up a child in the way it should go,
yes,
when he's old, he'll not depart. I went back to what I knew.
Very good.
I went back to look for the answers in the church, because I knew that God was there somewhere, yeah, and I needed to find him. Mm. So I started going back to church, and I have to say, I tried a number of churches, didn't understand what was being preached from the gospel, from the pulpit, didn't get any welcome or any feeling of belonging. It was difficult. It was difficult going into the churches because I felt that I didn't belong there. However, I did eventually find a little church, a chapel, and I went there and I sat and I cringed the whole way through because I felt that this man in the pulpit could see right into my life. He was talking about my life. He was talking about me. And I just felt convicted.
Oh, wow.
I knew that I needed God in my life at that moment. In actual fact, he prayed a prayer afterwards. I'll never forget it. He prayed, "Oh, Lord Jesus, come. Come quickly, Lord Jesus." And I sat in my pew, because I was in a pew, and I'm praying, "Don't come yet, Lord. Please don't come yet, Lord." Because I knew that I did not know this God.
Right.
So that I then began to have talking to the pastor and to people in the church, and they introduced me to Jesus. I prayed the prayer of salvation, and I got saved. And yeah, it's been a journey since then.
Yeah.
Best decision of my life. And I have to say, Gordon and I would not be an item today. We would not be a family today if God had not intervened.
Yeah, that's so good. I remember we've had some conversations over the years, but it's interesting that the Holy Spirit, the Bible talks about how the Holy Spirit draws us.
Yes.
Yeah. And he draws us to the point of salvation. And that drawing can look so different on so many lives. But often what it is, it's a kind of, you start thinking a way and you don't know why you're thinking that way.
Yes,
but you're just thinking that way. Yes. And then when you look back, you realize, gosh, that was God setting me up for a miracle.
Absolutely.
And I do remember you were, well, I don't remember, but I remember from our stories that you were quite sick when you were pregnant with my brother.
Yes.
And you were not saved then. And actually, you went down the line of getting a hypnotist.
Oh, gosh.
You know? No,
yes, not and good memories.
Yeah, but so many people would try that.
Yes.
And so that would be the option for so many people.
Yeah.
But I remember you telling me that even under hypnosis, you were beginning to feel like convicted.
Yes.
Just tell us what that felt like, to be convicted. What?
It just didn't feel right. I felt I was in the wrong place with the wrong people. It just did not feel right. I think that's what conviction does. You just have a feeling that I shouldn't be here, or I shouldn't be doing this, or I should not be with these people. And it was all that. It was not a good decision. The hypnotist was not a good decision. And there were other things that I did try, I'll be honest with you, because I was looking for the answer to life. Where do you find the answers to life? Mm. And I went down all sorts of wrong avenues, but I knew in my heart of hearts that I had to go back to church, that I would find the answer. The word of God says faith comes by hearing.
Yeah.
And in order to hear, you've got to go and sit in church and hear the word of God.
Yes.
And then Holy Spirit can bring conviction and salvation. Yeah.
That's incredible. I know that you are probably one of the strongest women of faith that I know. And it's probably where I get my audaciousness from, my tenacious, like, I'm not the kind of, you know, we are not the kind of sit down, have a cup of tea girls.
No.
We're the pick up your swords, show us where the battle is and off we go type
Absolutely.
Of people. And clearly I get that from you. I always say to people, she's the loudest old woman that you will ever know. Older woman, not old woman. But like, if you're in church, we don't need to say, the kids don't need to come home and go, was grandma there or not today? We know you're in church because you're the loudest amener, the loudest agreeer with the word. And I love that about you, because it's just, you can't keep your passion down. But over the years of my life, I've seen everything you've been through and everything that we've been through to a family. And to be honest, we're probably no more than most families.
Absolutely,
we've seen marriages
grow
and flourish. We've seen marriages fall apart. We've raised children. We've watched children walk away. We've watched children come back. We've both fought cancer. We've been there, done it, worn the t-shirt with a lot of things. And I just want to ask you the question and say to you, what is your key to staying strong in your faith, even through the difficult times? Because I think, and we're not going to go into all the details on here, but I think I've seen you go through some of the most horrendous times over the years of my life. But one thing that never changed with you through the ever-changing seasons of our life was your faith. And it's like, I've seen you drag yourself to church when you don't want to be in church.
Yes, yeah.
And I've seen you worship God from the most broken place. But what is that? How do you maintain such a strong faith?
I think when we go through battles, when we go through difficulties, we have a choice. Life is all about choice, And we have a choice. We either sit down under the battle and are defeated, or we can get up and fight. And for me, I choose to believe what the word of God says is true, regardless of what's going on around me, regardless of what's happening in real life. I choose to believe that the word of God is true. If he said that my children will be saved, my children will be saved. If he says the prayers of a godly woman will bring her husband to salvation, then the prayers of a godly woman will do. So in every season, I choose to believe that God is in control and that God is on my side.
Yes.
And also declaration. I found, and I wish I'd learned this years ago, but I learned that declaration was massive when you're fighting a battle.
Yes. Different to prayer, right?
Oh, it's so different. Yes, it is, because we are created in God's image. You know, actually, if anybody says to you, who are you? What makes you up? You would say, I am body, soul, and spirit. Actually, we are not. I am spirit.
Yes.
I am spirit that chooses to live in a body And when God created the world, he created it. God is spirit. And when he created the world, he created by his word. He spoke things into being. So when the Bible says, let the weak say, I am strong, let the poor say, I am rich, let the deaf say, I can hear, or the blind say, I can see, it's not being stupid. It's saying, when you speak these things over yourself, you are creating, you are making something.
So good.
Your words create.
So good.
And so in the battle, we have to make declaration. So we take the word of God and we declare it over our. I have seen you do that in your season of sickness, where you took the word of God and you declared it over your sick body every single day. Declaration is so powerful. Yeah. And I wish that I'd learned that years ago. Also, of course, get the right people around you. Mm. If you're in a battle, you need the right people around you, people who are for you, people who will speak hope, people who will speak even prophetically into your life, rather than people who will just bring you down.
Yeah.
You need the right people around you. And the other thing I would say, if you're in a battle, don't stop coming to church.
Yes.
So many people say, well, life's tough at the moment and I've got this going on and I've got that going on and I've nearly got time to go to church, or I don't even feel I want to go to church. Well, I know what you feel like. Mm. I've been there where I've said, Lord, I am not going to church. I don't feel like it. Everything's wrong. Everything's falling down. I am not going to church today. And then I get up on Sunday morning and I get myself ready and I go and I argue with God all the way to church. I argue with God, but I go. And I think that has been my sustaining power, is that I have never given up on church.
No.
Whether I felt like it or not, I have gone.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that's a good key.
Yeah. And it's like that scripture when David said, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. And we often read that scripture when it, because if you think about it, it says, I was glad when they said to me,
yes,
let's go to the house of God today. Yeah. And we interpret that David is skipping and jumping and all happy going up to church, when actually it could have been in a season where he was so low in spirit, where he was so downcast, but he had the right people around him and the right people said, David, let's go to the temple. Let's get up and go to pray. And there was a change in his spirit.
So good.
And so
good.
Maybe it was just that he was in reflection saying, I was so glad that they said to me, let's get into church today. Yeah. And you need to listen to those friends around you that say, hey, listen, don't know what's going on. You need to get into church today. Mum, do you have a favourite Bible verse or one that you quote often?
That one's easy.
Go on.
So easy. When Mary was told by the angel all that was going to happen to her, and let's be honest, it wasn't exciting.
Mm.
It was frightening what was going to happen to her. She could have been stoned to death. But when the angel declared all that was going to happen to Mary, Mary's words were, let it be unto me according to your word.
So good.
I love that verse.
Yes.
That's been my go-to verse. That's been the thing I have hung on to for years, when everything was black, when everything was almost gone. Let it be unto me. Lord, that's all I'm asking for. Lord, I don't want anything else. Just want what's in your word, because everything I need for a good life is here in your word.
Wow.
Let it be unto me according to what you've said. Your word says my children will be saved. Your word says that my prayers will bring my husband in. Your word declares, let it be unto me according to your word.
Such good advice.
Can't have anything better than
his word. Can't go wrong with the word of God.
No.
You don't need anybody else's words.
No,
absolutely not.
No.
I've never asked you the question, what's it like to have your daughter as your pastor? I've never actually just thought about it as we're sitting here today, which seems a really bizarre thing, because you raised me and you've seen the good, the bad and the ugly, and you're still the person. If I need to have a cry, like I'm having a meltdown, you're still the person that I go to. And yet respectfully, you're part of this church. You're helping us in so many ways in ministry and in life and all of the ways that you serve and give. But we don't know the children that we're raising.
I don't fully know what my children are going to become.
I'm watching them all become young men now and watching them navigate the seasons of their life. But I don't know what's in their future and who will they become. And so how is that for you, kind of like being in, I always ask my children, how do you feel being in the church with mum and dad?
Yeah.
But how is it for you being mother and me being sort of in the pastoral role? Talk to me about that.
Well, yeah. I think at first, I have to admit, we found it strange. We would be driving home and I'd say to Gordon, was that our Emma? Where did she get all that from? It was like a revelation. But like you say, I would say to any mothers that are listening to this, you do not know what is in your children. Yeah. You do not know. They could be prophets. They could be the prime minister.
Of course.
They could be the next preacher of LOC. Who knows what's in those children? Thinking back and I look at your life, I can see signs and signposts that I probably missed when I was younger. But actually being part of the church and having you as my pastor, I love it.
Yeah.
I respect you. I respect you and Luke as our pastor. I love the church that you're building. I love being a part of it. And it's a whole new way of preaching the gospel. It's a whole new way of doing worship. Things in God.
And of course, you're there with your husband, your children, your grandchildren.
I love that.
And now your great-grandchildren are running around as well. So that must feel...
I love that. And
do you look at that and think back to the prayers you've prayed over decades?
Absolutely.
And see an answer to God, the fact that...
I am often broken in worship. And Joash will see me because he's on stage and he always comes to me after and says, are you all right, Grandma? But I'm often broken in worship and I'm broken by the goodness of God.
So good.
I'm just blown away by the way God has been so faithful.
So good.
You know, people say to me, you must be proud of Emma. And don't get me wrong, I am proud. Obviously I am. But it's what God has done in you.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I think of the story of the loaves and the fishes. That little boy just brought the loaves and the fishes and gave them to Jesus.
Yes.
And Jesus did the miracle. So I had a daughter, I gave my children to Jesus. And Jesus has done the miracle.
So good.
I am proud and I do love it. And I love what you're doing.
What kind of a prayer have you prayed over me or over your family throughout the years? Have you had like a consistent something that you've like, whether it's a declaration or an ask of God that you've prayed over the family over the years?
I've always prayed for salvation for the family. As you know, I think you came in quite early. Well, you were only about 5, I think, and you never wavered from that. Gordon went away and Jason never came in until later on.
Yeah.
But I think prayer with children and families, prayer changes as the seasons change. And I think you find yourself praying for different things at different times. I don't think there's been a particular, the only one that I could say I have stuck with would be the Aaronic blessing.
Yes.
And I still pray that over my whole family.
Yes.
But prayer changes in seasons.
Which is what the Abrahamic blessing, it's
the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord bless you, the Lord keep you and make his face to shine upon you and give you peace.
Yes.
I think I've missed a bit out, haven't I?
The Lord bless you, the Lord keep you, cause his face to shine upon you and give you peace. I used to sing that over the boys when they were little.
Absolutely. That is a brilliant prayer. I think
they used to go to sleep so I'd stop singing.
To pray over your family.
Fantastic. Fantastic.
Sorry.
Just on that, and just as we bring this whole thing to a close, what is a piece of advice that you never received when you were younger as a young mum that you wished you had received as a young mum? And, you know, and maybe you didn't get this one piece of advice or this advice, and you'd like to share that with anyone who's listening who is a young mum today. What would that piece of advice be? Whether it's something practical or whether it's something spiritual, what would that be?
I wish when I was younger that I had been taught how to actually live out the Bible.
Right.
We were taught a lot of theology. We were taught the Bible, obviously. I believed the Bible. But we were taught about the greatness of God.
Yeah. Yeah.
But nobody taught me that the greatness of God was in me.
Wow.
Nobody taught me that the authority of God was given to me.
Yes.
Jesus said, I give you all authority. Jesus said, everything the Father gave me, I give you. Mm. I never had any concept of that. And it's something that I have had to learn over the years, more so since I've come into this church. Mm. But I did have an inkling because of the things that I went through. I had to learn how to stand in authority against the enemy. We have an enemy and he wants to steal from your table. He'll take your kids. He'll take your marriage. He'll take your peace. He'll take your joy. He'll take whatever he can. But let's be honest, he can only take what you let him.
That's right.
You know, we have to set a guard over our families, over our life. We have to set a guard. We have to be the ones that will stand in authority and declare that God is in control, and nobody can thwart the plans of God. Nobody can take away what God has done. And I wish that I'd learned that I had that authority. Instead of learning all about God, I would like to have learned how God is in me.
Yes.
And how I can live because of God.
Do you think you would have walked with a greater confidence?
Greater, yes.
Do you
definitely.
Think you would have worried less?
Yes, yes.
Stressed yes. less. Because even though you're still going through the reality of the things you went through, knowing that the greatness of God is not up in heaven looking down on you, but it actually dwells within you, you could have taken authority over situations.
Yes, I did learn. I mean, I did become a warrior and I did learn.
Yeah.
But it was something that I had to learn myself because nobody else taught me. And in that vein, I would like to say that one of the things I wished I'd done when I was younger was I wish I'd had access to something like Keys to Freedom. We do a course here, which was put together by Mercy Ministries. Mm-hmm. I think you can get it worldwide. Yeah,
anyone can get their hands on Keys to Freedom, a fabulous course.
We run a Keys to Freedom course, and I wish that I had done that years ago.
Very quickly explain to us what it is for anybody who doesn't know what Keys to Freedom is. What does it do?
Okay, well, Jesus said, I give you the keys of the kingdom. But we have to know how to access those keys, how to use those keys. So keys to peace, keys to forgiveness, keys to how to use your authority, keys to how to train your mind to think correctly.
Very good.
To think the thoughts of God instead of thinking the thoughts of man. All those things and so much more, so much more. But basically, Keys to Freedom will help you deal with your past and prepare you for your future.
Love it. And so you're quite passionate about helping a lot of women to do that. So,
if you're a mother and you're listening to this and you haven't done Keys to Freedom, by find out where you can access it and do that Keys to Freedom.
Yeah, you can DM us here and we can help set that up for you. No problem.
That's one thing I do wish I'd had when I was younger.
Great. Well, Mum, thank you so much for being on this podcast today. That was a first, and I think hear more from you because you've just got a wealth of wisdom on the inside of you that I think needs to come out of you even more. Girls, we have so loved having you with us on this podcast today. And hey, listen, conference is coming.
Yes.
May is not far away, 16th and 17th of May. We cannot wait to see you at the ACC Arena. DM us for tickets, jump on our Instagram, and just do whatever you need to do to set yourself up for a miracle and be in the room.